Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It's my pleasure to welcome Chris Green to the podcast. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
So, Chris, you are a technical trainer with Ludeca. Prior to that, you spent many years as lead mechanics, trainers, even in the pit crew. In addition to that, you have your level one ultrasound inspector and a variety of other certifications. Although very, very brief, can you give us some background to yourself and kind of fill in the blanks?
Sure. I kind of started being mechanically minded as a child. My family had a foreign car repair shop, and I kind of grew up there. And the first couple of years, they let me actually kind of make a mess of things and break a lot of stuff. And then they started putting books in front of me and saying, "Here, dummy, this is how you're supposed to do it right." And that's when I discovered that machines are built by someone with an intent. And when you start straying from that intent, that's when the machine starts telling you it doesn't want to work right. And, all through my career from, working on cars to working on race cars to even help develop race cars, then getting into industrial world where people actually love to pay you to show up and work on stuff. I learned that going back to how machines are supposed to be built generally gave us the best performance, lifespan, cost-effective runtime, everything. So I guess that's pretty much how I've tried to model my career, working on rotating assemblies, complex equipment. Is just, how does it really want to run and how can we facilitate that best?
All right. Excellent. Excellent. So, you've grown up around these equipment, the mechanical systems, all those things. How long have you really been involved with the maintenance and reliability aspect of piece or machinery installation piece from an industrial standpoint?
I started in August of 2008, and it was when the Barnett Shale was exploding here in Texas, and they could not hire people fast enough to work on this equipment. So we didn't get like a slow ramp up of here's how you do your job. We were immediately, from hire date number one, jumping into installing $2.1 million packages all the way up to $5 million packages, and they had to be running right away. So the learning curve was very steep.
I can imagine. Now, here's a question. Why do organizations really need to focus on machinery installation? And that's going to form the premise of all we talk about today. But why is it so important?
It's kind of one of those cradle to grave attitudes that I've taken with it. If we install something correctly at the very beginning of this machine's lifespan, the installation will dictate how this machine runs pretty much for the rest of its lifespan. If we, do our best to eliminate any defects in our operations, at that point, identify problems that could creep into operations, that is the prime time to establish a really good, run condition for that machine continuing on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we set the precedence by the install of it. If we install it properly, we do it correctly, we do it with precision, it should run that much smoother, that much better for everyone, right?
Absolutely.
Now, do you know, even ballpark, what percentages of equipment out there is not installed correctly? Is it a low? Is it a lot?
I'm kind of ashamed to admit that industries as a whole have kind of gone with what's the most cost-effective mode of installation. And thought that would be where, a good place to start saving money would be. So the newer the equipment is, I say the percentages go up on incorrect installation just to fit a budget or even possibly a timeline and budget. Fast and cheap actually is a very common concept right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is unfortunate because like you said, it forms the basis of how this equipment's going to operate, how we're going to utilize this equipment, how well it's going to operate for us, all those things. Now, when we say
equipment installation, a lot of people instantly think to alignment. Is it more than just alignment?
Absolutely, yes. You have to look at where you're going to be installing this. Is it a suitable location? Is the mounting for the overall equipment suitable for what you're putting there? If you're going to put, 1,700 horsepower Caterpillar on a foundation that's a little more than street sand, then that in the long haul, this thing's not going to want to keep vibration out of the mix. It's going to have settling. When we see new pump motor combinations shipped in from, prefabricated design places, they show up on site. The materials that they're bolting, large horsepower to, they don't really look forward enough to say, all right, will this hold this piece of equipment? Not just the alignment, but will it hold it from moving around and stressing pipes, violating the design concept of the machine they bought just based off the installation?
Yeah, it's all those things like you mentioned. Is it the right foundation? Do we have the right anchors? Are the anchors placed the appropriate distance apart? Are they deep enough? Are they the right size? Do we have the right base plates? All those things. That's machinery installation. If we don't do that, you said exactly what's going to happen. Stuff's going to move around. It's going to bend. It's going to twist. It's going to vibrate. It's going to do all these different things.
A trend that I've noticed lately is prior to me being in the business, a lot of large equipment actually had, a nice concrete inertia block poured underneath it. Once the equipment was moved in, it would be grouted in place and post grout checks would be done to make sure that, there was no warping of the skid. Everything is settled exactly where we want it to be, knowing that it's going to run. And given that assets nowadays are bought and sold between companies so fast, it's actually looked at as grout is prohibiting business advancing. And so a lot of companies just don't do that practice anymore. And the overall lifespan of what would be a 30, 40 year, piece of equipment is actually rapidly coming down to about a 10 to 15 year lifespan before you start seeing major problems such as, crankshaft failures or large support beams just fatiguing.
So I was under the impression that grouting is still part of the regular day-to-day activities. Is that a specific industry you're seeing those changes in, or is that all industries where we're not grouting properly?
So a lot of my experience has been in oil and gas production, and that's where I see it really kind of not being in favor as much as it should be. But as I've been exposed to more and more industries over the last few years by working with Ludeca, I'm getting a pretty good view into how everyone else does things. And some people actually view that as a cost prohibitive practice and something that either adding more support legs or adding extra bolts or something, we won't need to push the grout in there if we just make it more solid, rigidly mounted with bolts.
All right. Well, you learn something new every day. Not going to say I agree with it, but you learn something new.
It shows up in vibration.
Oh, absolutely. It would. Now, what equipment do our people need for a proper installation? Obviously there's some alignment stuff there, but what else do we actually need to install equipment properly?
Before the equipment ever comes into where it's going to be mounted, doing a good solid check. Do we have a proper machine finish of what we're going to be setting it on? Do we have a proper flatness? So geometric measurements, I hate to say low tech, but just having a quality machinist level on site instead of running down to Harbor Freight, or I hate to use that as a term, but going and getting the cheapest carpenter level to install a piece of equipment and making sure it's flat. Look at what the expense is, what you're installing, and make sure you have the proper tooling in place to, get these finite numbers accurately and make sure that we're eliminating the defects before that ever happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So we need, a level to make sure what we're installing is actually level. We need to make sure it's flat. If we have different base plates, are they on the same plane?
Yeah.
Right. And that becomes a little more difficult with basic tools, but that's something we still need to consider.
And what's happening is when there are failures that are identified at the installation level, people are looking for, okay, how do we track that. And with the newer tools, some of the geometric measurements that we take and everything, there's always a reporting function in these tools. And I think that really helps because it shows the people that are doing the installation have, you know, brought everything to the table to do it right. And, you know, everyone gets to sign off on this thing saying, we brought these tools, we did these measurements, we shouldn't have a problem at this point. Instead of looking for Band-Aids, let's go look for the actual problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if we have all these right tools, we can check to make sure it's flat, it's clean, you know, all those things. What type of training is actually required to do this? Is it just a standard mechanic can walk in and install equipment properly, or do we require a different process, different training? What's required?
So there is a number of tools that make the job a lot easier, and it seems like anyone can just pick them up and run with them. The barrier for entry there is not necessarily can they turn the box on and use it. But no matter how sophisticated and how cool the tool is, the technician still needs to have a good idea of what he's up to. So, you know, training from the OEM who's supplying the equipment, you know, what are the specifications, what's required, torque specs, machine finish, everything like this, you know, absolute limits on flatness or whatever. So that's a fair amount of training. They can get it from either a manual or formalized training, so it's clarified by the OEM. Now, being that I work for a tool marketing group that also helps develop and build these types of tools, we do a very comprehensive job of trying to make sure that when someone buys one of these tools, they're not just handed a box, here, turn it on and go. We want to make sure that they are trained to the point that they are comfortable using every feature in that box. And, you know, it makes them look better as a technician. It lets the tool work the way it's supposed to. So they have more faith in what it's saying. And it makes our industry as a whole look a whole lot better because now all of a sudden we have people that do more than just turn wrenches. We have people that, you know, become technicians. And being a technician to me is someone who uses technology and experience to correctly solve problems. Whereas a mechanic might be someone who's like, well, he told me to go over here and turn this bolt. That's what I did.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that training is vitally important. And there's another piece I find that's very important with installation, both leading up to and then after, and that's documentation. Now, what role does documentation have to play in installation?
So my take being that I kind of come from more of a field level into this training instead of maybe coming from a classical education side, I look at the documentation first to show that I've taken ownership of a job. That I'm doing this. These are the steps I took. This is the clear, concise path I took to installing this piece of equipment. So for me, it covers my bacon a little bit. It's making sure that, you know, I'm doing this right. Here's the specs I worked off of. And then I actually will use that documentation to put more into it to give a very complete picture of every step I did. So that there is a clear path to install. We can really look at this and say, all right, if there is a problem, this is what we've done to potentially get away from that problem. Now let's go look for the real cause. It helps with the root cause analysis of any sort of problems. And because this information is oftentimes going into someone who is not necessarily a technician, it's more someone who's a business manager. It should educate them as to know, you know, this is how my processes work with the company that I'm running here. So it helps educate them in a way of, you know, allocating future funds for overhauls, things like that. It really is our way of communicating the work we do to someone sitting in an office to understand this is what you should expect from your equipment. And, you know, for me, I have this goofy saying. I tell people, first give them responsibility. If they feel responsible for something, then they'll take ownership. With ownership, they should pick up the pride. And if everyone has that same aspect of all the equipment in the fleet, it makes the entire company look better.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. If you give them responsibility, they'll create ownership, right?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. All right. Now, with that, does We follow the procedure. We use the right tools. We have the right training. We did the installation.
Mm-hmm.
Does that installation have to be validated in terms of making sure that the tolerances are correct? Whether that's before we start up or after we have a break-in period, is there some sort of validation that needs to occur?
Absolutely. Generally, a company will have something that's called a commissioning group. And the commissioning group is the people who are in charge of that installation. They may not be the guys who are actually crawling all over this machine to install it, but they're the ones going through and verifying all of these checks and signing off on it. A lot of the manufacturers I worked with in the past, when we bought a multi-million dollar package, they had a very specific person come out and go through this entire installation process with us and go through a checklist. And if we miss something on that checklist, we'd either have to fix it or we would not have warranty on this multi-million dollar package. And so the installation is validated through this commissioning so that everyone is covered from, you know, a safe run condition, a proper run condition for economic, use, and also to cover everyone for the warranty portion of it. Because, you know, a couple of loose nuts behind the wheel can absolutely wreck an entire facility.
Yep, absolutely.
So that validation is what covers everyone and says, yes, this is installed correctly. We will honor warranty. This thing's good to go.
All right. So that validation may include vibration checks.
Yes.
Validation that specific tolerances were achieved during the installation, whether it's alignment or torque or those types of things. So it's validating everything was done properly, right?
And there's another kind of trend that's coming in. Some of the commissioning work that I've done in the past with these guys from these manufacturers, they've actually started to loosen some of these standards because enough of the customers had complained that it was too hard to achieve those targets. To meet that validation process. And so over the years, some of the tolerances have opened up. And when you go and do like a 25,000 hour inspection and pull bearings, you can tell the guys who still work to achieve the older specs that were a little bit tighter. It's a little bit of work. Maybe spend another hour or two making sure you've fixed all soft foot or web deflection or anything like that. And the ones that haven't done that, you pull the bearings out at 25,000 hours and you say, I don't think this was installed correctly.
So that little bit of a difference in tolerances has that huge effect on the life of that equipment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one spec that comes to mind, it was a web deflection of 1.7 thousandths in between throws on an engine. And the newer spec is 3 thousandths. And when you go into those engines and you pull those bearings, you can tell without asking anyone which spec was used for installing that same engine.
Very interesting. I'm surprised they backed off of those tolerances, but they probably understood that it would make it through the warranty requirement. There's no extra warranty on us, or there's no financial burden on us if we use these less restrictive tolerances, right?
Yeah, basically, if the failure was because of that, it'd be so long after the warranty period that it'd be on the customer to make good on it anyway.
All right. Now, what tools or standards are out there to help us with the machinery installation? I know, ASTM came out with a new alignment standard recently. What else is out there?
So most of our customer base, they have standards that are dictated by the manufacturer of the equipment. And it's based off of runtime test conditions, everything to know what the limits were for successful runtime to not incur additional load or anything like that. My favorite is to actually look at the requirements of the manufacturer, the requirements of different, you know, standards bodies. Like our tools include an ANSI standard in there. It's one of the only tools that does. And, you know, everyone wants to say, okay, we're going to meet these standards. I think the challenge that I would love to put to most people is, okay, that's the bare minimum standards. Can we do it better?
Yeah, absolutely. That standard is just how you hit the nail right on the head. That is the bare minimum to achieve this, but can we do better? Well, yes, you most likely can. And that's just going to prolong the equipment life generally.
Absolutely.
Now, what's the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with machinery installation? What's the one thing everyone doesn't do right and that we could do different?
It absolutely goes back to that last question. Like, what is the standard for installation? If you understand what the specifications are for the equipment that you're installing, then you know that this is the envelope you're going to work within. And everyone having the same goal of, you know, let's make sure this thing is done right, because we are going to establish how this machine runs for the rest of its career and possibly yours. I know guys who've been assigned to the same machines for 20 plus years. And when they installed them, they made sure that, you know, they were going by all those specifications and trying to do it better. And having that mentality, I think, is just as important as any of the tools you bring with you.
Absolutely. So having that mentality, trying to hit precision, trying to exceed those tolerances, makes the big difference. Now, what's the one thing you would change in a typical machinery installation that you observe? Is it having that training? Is it always striving for above those tolerances? Is it different than the last question?
The magic wand would actually be kind of aimed a little bit more towards the management and, people who aren't necessarily working with these equipments all the time. Have them understand that letting the technicians have the time, the knowledge, and the data to do it right. In oil and gas production, you're dealing with product that's been down on the ground for millions of years, and I never understood why it was so critical to have everything done as hard and fast as it can, blow past the finer points that make it a better producing piece of equipment, just to have it running first.
Yeah, not sure. I can't answer that. I don't spend a lot of time in oil and gas, in all honesty. Probably, I'm guessing, just to do with the fact that the dollars that we get for pulling it out of the ground.
It's still going to be there. You got other ones going as well. It's just adding more dollars on top of dollars. Let's make sure that we're not spending extra of those dollars having to come back and revisit. One of my favorite things to say when I'm doing a training is, okay, if it takes just a little bit more time right now to do it right, that means you don't have to find the time later on to do it again.
You know, there's that saying, we don't have enough time to do it right, but we have enough time to come back and fix it.
I don't know how we always find that time.
Now, what's the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today on machinery installation? What's the one thing you want them to do, this week, next week?
Really think about what it means to install that and know that it's right, especially if it's a piece of equipment that you're going to be in charge of for running throughout its lifespan. Really look at it and take that extra time to take the pride and do it right, knowing that, you're not working off of tribal knowledge, you're working off of actual specifications, and you have a target of, absolute wonderful runtime, great throughput, whatever your product is you're moving or whatever. And, take that extra effort. Try to be that one guy who absolutely is looking ahead to see what the next problem is and eliminate it before you build it into the installation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Chris, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about machinery installation. But before we go, where can people find out more about you, LaDeca, and also what's your favorite resource for those looking to learn more about machinery installation?
We actually have a ton of videos on our website at ludeca.com. We even host some stuff. I think we got several different tool videos on YouTube as well as our website. And I will say that my favorite resource really is being able to go to the internet and look up anything, anywhere. Every piece of equipment I've ever worked on, I've been able to find a manual, even if the manufacturer didn't necessarily want to give it to me. I was able to find the documentation to have the right specs to do the work and not have to fumble in the dark or ask someone who might make up an answer for me.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can find by Googling. You can find, manuals for equipment that was built 50 years ago and the manufacturer disappeared 20 years ago. It's easy to find a lot of that information on there.
Yeah, and there's always some sort of regional outlet for information. I just came back from a conference in Oklahoma. There's another one that I went to in Pittsburgh. And it just seems like every region has its own get together where you can really get to network with people who are probably facing the same problems you are And, you know, if everyone gets to talking about it, maybe someone who does have the right book, the right manual, whatever, will say, hey, here's the fix for that right here. Instead of, you know, the community just making up answers.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Chris, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about machinery installation. You know, like you said earlier, it's absolutely vital that we do this up front properly because it's going to save us all that time and effort and wear down the road. So thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.